This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2159. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded October 6th, Algeria, Antarctica, Bolivia, Cambodia, Cuba, Finland, Indonesia, ITU, Iran, Kazakhstan, Christmas Island, Korea North and South, Kurdistan, Malaysia, Maldives, Mexico, New Zealand, Nigeria, Oklahoma, Peru, Solomon Islands, Spain, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Zanzibar, MFJ, Space Weather Snapshot, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Last week we reported that one of the two new shortwave sites in Algeria was not currently on the air, but now I have a couple of reports on a frequency which is listed as the Wargla site, besides the Beshar site, which is more commonly heard. That's 13600. In the British TS Club communication, they say the Wargla site had not been heard since initial tests in early August, but on 21 September, Wolfgang Busch reported possibly hearing it on 13600 after 2312 UT with low modulation. And another report from JRX in Paraíba, Brazil, October 3rd, at 2031 to 2041, on 13600 in Arabic with music, and announcements in Arabic. Fair reception to some interference from Marti on 13605. Well, I see in HSEC the Wargla site on 13600 is registered as available between 21 and 01 UT. My monitoring this week of LRA 36 Antarctica, always only via remotes in South America, on 15475.98 reduced carrier USB. Saturday, October 1st, it did not cut out until 14:49.8 with the usual songs and opening and other material, but it kept going much longer than usual. Last heard at 17:11, but on Wednesday, October 5th, it never appeared between 14:45 and 15:40. When that happens, they sometimes show up on Friday instead. WRMI had reactivated 5950 as of October 2nd at 01 UT, but with a big hit, as heard via the remote in Holland, measured on 5952.469. Therefore, it was Radio Pio XII in Bolivia on its signature split frequency, and Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil had reported a few hours earlier that it was back on the air after some weeks of silence, heard at 22:48 on the 1st of October. Exact style of time signals on different stations can be a helpful aid to identification, especially on medium wave where there are lots of stations on the same frequency. And there is a time pips catalog, which has now been updated, Russ Edmonds tells IRCA, is at www.radiodxing.com. And then after the slant, time pips catalog.xlsx. It's all lowercase except for T, P, and C. Once there, you then select which geographical area you wish to inspect. And there are links to many different recordings. Jeroen Bed in Seattle provided a few more, which he got via remote receivers in Southeast Asia, such as this one from Cambodia on 891 kilohertz. Oh, he must have meant 918, the 600 kilowatt national radio station. It doesn't take a hurricane to cause anomalies in Cuban shortwave broadcasting. There were mix-ups additionally because of the hurricane, however. Like we mentioned last week, the 5025 and 5040 frequencies mixed up between Rebelde and RHC. 5025 was more or less off the air with Rebelde, but being heard again as of October 6th by myself and Manuel Mendez in Spain. Jamming continued, however, on many frequencies, whether or not there was anything to jam, such as 5800. That's a new one, at 0630 UT October 5th in pulse jamming. It's a WRMI frequency, but not on the air at that hour. But obviously provoked by the new Radio Republica broadcast on WRMI itself, three nights a week at 03 to 04 on 5800. Now that 5800 is back, we may check again whether those transmissions are actually being jammed. I warn that would lead to more collateral damage against other programming, also on 5800. Of course, the original Radio Republica broadcast via RMI has actually been transmitted via France on 9490, 0.058 variable as I measured it, September 29th at 0115, when they announced the schedule for that program, including the new broadcasts on 5800. From Communication in the British DS Club, Scandinavian Weekend Radio Finland reported on 30 August that their 25-meter band aerial was damaged by adjacent trees during a violent thunderstorm in August. This has now been fixed and remounted. The next broadcast would be on 8 October. That's the second Saturday, not the first of the month, but it does start actually on the previous Friday at 21 UT when it's midnight local time. They have one frequency in 49 meters and another in 25 on a complex schedule switching back and forth, which may not necessarily be followed according to their website. It's quite low powered, so a challenge to hear, at least beyond Europe. Frequencies are 5980 and 6170, and 11690 and 11720. More reports of that surprise reactivated Indonesian RRI Nabiri on 7289.92 or 0.93, which is on the island of New Guinea, this part of Indonesia now known as Papua, formerly known as Irian Jaya. In the NASA flash sheet, Rob Wagner in Australia says it's back from a long absence, heard on September 29th at 0815 with frequent announcements and songs a week signal, but better by 0845. Bruce Churchill in California reports hearing it via the remote at Half Moon Bay, California, at 0730. Also September 29th, and improving to armchair level by 0815. Ron Howard in California heard it directly again on October 1st, with the usual format of nonstop easy-listening songs except for Quran at 0847 to 0858, and was still going at 0920. Same thing on October 2nd, when reception was the strongest so far, but there was no signal that he could hear on October 3rd, and it was still off the air October 4th. Meanwhile, Tony Ashar in Indonesia explains, Shalawat Tarhim is a prayer reading addressed to the Prophet Muhammad's followers and echoed by mosques or prayer rooms in Indonesia just before the call to prayer. The call to sunset prayer time for the Nabiri region on October 4th was 0853 UT. Finally, Ron was pleased that it was back on the air on October 5th, although only briefly, from 0805 to cutoff at 0819. Also filed under I, the International Telecommunication Union, ITU, has a new Secretary General, the first woman to be elected to that post, Doreen Bogdan-Martin, who's also a ham, KD2JTX. Thanks to Mike Terry for that news from ARRL. ITU is a UN agency. Its main role is to manage international radio frequency spectrum. She was soon to proudly tweet that she's the first woman ever elected to the post of ITU Secretary General. We've finally smashed a 157-year-old glass ceiling. I hope this result inspires women and girls everywhere to dream big and make those dreams a reality. In the British DX Club, Simon Hicks explains, candidates are nominated by ITU full members who are nation states. These states have one vote each, so she was elected on this basis. Also in BDXC communication, Chris Greenway says Iran ended daylight shifting time on 21 September, moving clocks back 1 hour to make local time 3.5 hours ahead of GMT. Iran will now abandon DST and remain GMT plus 3.5 throughout the year. Iran introduced DST in 1978, but did not observe it in 1981 to 1990 or 2006 to 2007. This from RussDX, Beeline Kazakhstan explains the shutdown of Russian TV channels September 30th. The telecoms company Beeline Kazakhstan spoke about the reasons for terminating broadcasting of 15 Russian TV channels. It stressed this is not related to the political situation and the revision of package offers is explained by the preferences of subscribers. By the way, Beeline Kazakhstan is a private company located in Holland. Gary Pence, Ron Howard, and I continue to monitor Kurismus Island on 846 kHz. I can't get more than a just barely audible carrier, but it's got to be that when I hear it after 06UT on that split frequency. However, it's not on the air every night. We had previously concluded that they were silent on Sundays and Wednesdays, but this week they were not on the air on Monday, October 3rd, and then heard again on the 4th and 5th, which is a Wednesday, and again on October 6th. From the Isle of Wight, Alan Holder says, "The Voice of Korea, Pyongyang, according to announcements, has changed its European frequencies to the winter schedule from October 3rd, about a month earlier than usual. It's the same as for last winter. English at 13, 15, 18, and 21 on 12015 and 7570, replacing 15245 and 13760. Also German at 16, 18, and 19 on 9425 and 6170, replacing 12015. However, on October 3rd, there was confusion at Kujang. English only on 9425 and German on 12015, while 7570 and 6170 were not on the air. Alan says, "I often enjoy listening to their music, which follows the news, mostly popular melodies, but also some classical pieces. On Saturdays, about 40 minutes into the broadcast, they often air a mailbag segment." Ron Howard monitored this week's frequencies for Echo of Hope, abbreviated VOH, from South to North Korea. 3980, 4885, 5990, 6250, 6348, and 9100. That was at 0745 UT with a weekday English language lesson. Yokaze or Seabreeze from Japan about North Korean abductions had changed its monthly frequencies already as of September 30th. The 13 to 14 UT broadcast Ron Howard was hearing on 5920 and 6165, the latter killing CNR6 reception. Of course, English is only on Wednesdays. Yves Ivanov has the full schedule. Those two replace 5935 and 6070. The repeat at 16 UT has moved to 6090 and 7325, replacing 5920 and 6165. Ron Howard also reports on another clandestine from South to North Korea, Voice of Freedom on 6045. On October 4th, it came on at 0753 with a gong rung three times and an ID, the Republic of Korea Choral National Anthem, frequencies and a station jingle. But this was mixing with North Korean super jamming. Denge Weylat, the Kurdish clandestine that Turkey tries to jam, is no longer heard as easily as it used to be when they were on 11530 or 11540. But Ivo Ivanov says current transmissions via Bulgaria, as noted October 3rd, are first on 7285, and then they switch at 0530 to 11775. On October 3rd, Art Delibear in Maryland reported to Hardcore DX, RTM Malaysia has been missing from both its shortwave frequencies, 9835 and 11665, for several days, when he checked around 10 to 11 UT. Why is this? They recently upgraded their signal on both frequencies and were heard well for a while. Ron Howard wrote the station expressing his concern that Sarawak FM and YFM were absent, and got this reply from T.S. Khairuddin H.J. Osman, Head of Assistant Director, Operation Unit, Department of Broadcasting. "Currently both shortwave transmitters off the air due to medium voltage maintenance works. Shut off from 1st October until the 8th, based on our planning. It will be on the air again from October 9th. Via Internet, International Vacuum, FM, AM, and Shortwave, World of Radio, 2159. A non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com, for which financial support is much appreciated, which may be sent, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com, or by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. We continue to wonder about the true secret transmitter site for Voice of Martyrs Korea, service to the Maldive Islands, at 15 to 1530 UT on 11620. Roger Tower in Germany did some TDOA direction finding with remote receivers, which seemed to indicate northern Australia. Anyway, he says it does not seem to be Tashkent or Taiwan. Nevertheless, the same station's Burmese service at the same time on 11825 has a much weaker signal here than 11620, which I'm curious about because it's unreasonably strong here on the opposite side of the world from its target area. In IRCA, Robert Vance in El Paso updates us on the AM dial in Ciudad Juarez. XEZOL 860 is back on the air as of September 26th, and these are the other stations still on the air. XEFB 1000, XEWR 1110, XEF 1420, XECJC 1490, and XEJPV 1560. Their future demise has been in the works for quite a while, but I'm not holding my breath, he says, while XCROK 800 signed off this past March. Radio New Zealand Pacific has a new schedule effective October 6th from their website via Allen Row. I'm rounding this off. The frequency changes are usually between 1 and 2 minutes before the hours mentioned. Daily at 21 until 06, 15720. 06 to 08, 9700. 08 to 13, 7245. From 13 UT, 5980. After 17 or 18 UT, it's rather convoluted to accommodate DRM broadcasts for various islands to relay. The AM frequencies in that period include 9700, 11725, and 13840. I continue to try to hear Voice of Nigeria on 7254.933, direct in their mornings after 06 UT, or via remotes in their evenings before and after 18 UT. Mostly no signal at all, but there was dead air in the morning of October 3rd. Has anyone else heard them at all active during the past week? It seems that something's always absolutely abject at Abuja. News from Oklahoma about beacons, two of them around here, have returned to the air on 255 kHz SW at Stillwater. It's back October 1st after having been heard last on June 8th. It's had protracted absences before and may go off again, no telling for how long. Also, 515 kHz PN in Ponca City reactivated as of October 4th. It has a stronger signal than the others. Thanks to the absence of Cuba from 5025, we had a chance to hear a Radio Quijabamba in Peru on the same frequency. I did have a barely audible signal September 29th at midnight 58. It was heard much better by Bruce Churchill in California using a remote in, of all places, Western Iceland. Nice reception at 23:45 to midnight 30 on September 28th and 29th. He was hearing probably Catholic responsive readings in Quechua, and then some commercials in Peruvian music after midnight 13. In the NASPA flash sheet, Rob Wagner in Australia was also hearing Quijabamba 20 Hz high from 5025, signing on at exactly 10 UT October 1st. And Bruce Churchill was also hearing another Peruvian via remote in New Zealand, Radio del Pacifico on 9675, September 29th from 0544 until 0629, with religious programs, praise songs, and a feature on romance and matrimony. Cuba's silence on 5025 also made it easier to hear. Solomon Islands on 5020. Bruce Churchill was hearing a nice signal on September 28th, from 0736 to 0902. That was using the KFS remote in California. Ron Howard says it was better than usual at 0757 to 923 on October 1st. Ron also forwards a story from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute via Brian Clark, headlined, "The Future of Public Broadcasting is in Danger in Solomon Islands. SIBC is under threat, not from gunmen during civil unrest, but from a prime minister who wants to turn it into a government mouthpiece. At the center of concern is PM Sogavare's security deal with China, which was signed in April. After 6 days of dead air, whenever checked, the Mideast frequency from Spain, 15520, was finally modulating again on October 1st, just in time for a stupid ballgame. Meanwhile, their North American frequency, 17855, is no longer propagating so well when English finally comes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 22 UT. In fact, a remote in Maryland picks it up best on the South American frequency, 11940. Notice that the simulbroadcast at 22 UT daily from Turkey and English for North America, 9830, sometimes comes on several minutes late, and other times, not at all. More about the pending cuts to BBC World Service, including moving some language services to the target areas rather than out of London. This from The Guardian via Mike Cooper. BBC accused of endangering World Service Vietnamese staff. Cost-cutting plan to move staff from London to Bangkok will put them at risk of abduction. Vietnam has a history of abducting journalists from Thailand. Being a critic of the Vietnamese government, even when you're in Thailand, is not safe. In another story in The Guardian, October 2nd, the Observer view on short-sighted cuts to the BBC World Service. For Iranians suffering a violent crackdown by a repressive regime opposed to free speech, independent media, and open debate, trusted sources of unbiased, factual information are of critical importance. For this and other reasons, the announcement that BBC is to end Persian language radio broadcasts is both dismaying and short-sighted. Commenting on this in our group, Michael in the UK says, "The BBC spends a large part of its domestic budget on new infrastructure, personalities, travel, and programming of limited merit. Such aspects require independent review. It could revert to its prime focus of info and education and reduce the entertainment budget, well provided for by other service providers. Remember Commando Solo? It's been retired," according to a story via Medium Wave News on 17 September. It was the only flying military radio and TV broadcast platform in the U.S. military. It transmitted a final broadcast to spectators at the Community Days Air Show at Lancaster Airport, Lititz, Pennsylvania, closing a 54-year chapter in unit history. The EC-130J Commando Solo mission helped keep the Air National Guard unit's aircraft and its airmen at the tip of the spear for nearly every major U.S. military operation since the Vietnam War. Our best wishes to Jeff White and the crew at WRMI, who've been coping with getting the station back on the air. They were completely off the air, as we mentioned before, due to Hurricane Ian, although they did not have a direct hit. But a number of the feed lines were down, which all had to be repaired, even if the transmitters were not injured. Power was out at first, but it was restored the afternoon of September 29th. Then it was going into the muck to inspect the damage. Frequencies were returned one by one over the next few days, 5950, 9395, 9455, 9955, and 5800 was to return as of October 6th. This, of course, meant that many World of Radio airings could not happen for our previous edition. I hope you heard it one way or another. However, the first frequency back on the air, 5950, had some scheduled changes, so that World of Radio did appear UT Monday at midnight 30 on 5950, while the regular frequency 7780 was still not available. Thanks to Jeff White for keeping us informed on the progress of repairs at WRMI via direct mail and also posts on FB. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Florida, a big change in Miami media from Inside Radio, 30 September via the Arctic Radio Club. Miami's ticket flipping to Spanish conservative talk as Radio Libre. That's because Wacky, WAQI 710, is getting new ownership, which they fear will be too liberal. So many of the talk hosts on that station have already moved, or in the process of moving, to Waxy, WAXY 790, replacing an English sports talk format. Of course, the original story goes into much more detail if you can look it up. Just in another big change in the San Francisco market, KGOA 10 signs off its news talk format. Cumulus Media has pulled the plug on that, and there will be a new format starting Monday, October 10th. It seems to be sports betting. That's a trend in various cities. That's also from Radio Insight, October 6th, via Dennis Gibson, ABDX. Radio Vanuatu continued to be missing from its weird harmonic frequencies, or any frequencies we could hear, September 22nd to 29th. But finally, on October 1st, there they were again on 7260. And I heard them at 0630. That is a fundamental frequency. But it was back almost to the old pattern of changing to another frequency at 07UT instead of 063945, which therefore puts out harmonics on 7890 and 11835. That's a bit late for me after 07, but Ron Howard, Gary Pence, Manuel Mendez, and Marshall Reed were all hearing that as of October 2nd on 11835. Still being heard as of October 5th, says Ron Howard, which was Constitution Day in Vanuatu, commemorating signing of the Constitution in 1979. But October 6th, Radio Vanuatu was gone again from all those frequencies. What about Zanzibar? Ron Howard says it's been a very long time since I last checked 6015, but October 2nd from 0320 to 345, looking for any sign of ZBC radio, it was totally silent. Has anyone heard them on 6015 recently, or have they been gone for a long time? Never mind their higher frequency, which has been off even longer, 11735. From ARRL via CIDX Messenger, MFJ to celebrate 50th anniversary, an amateur radio electronics manufacturer and retailer. MFJ Enterprises celebrates 50 years in business this October. Martin Jue, J-U-E, K5FLU, founded the company in 1972 after building a CW filter kit that sold for less than $10. Since 1990, the company has made 5 acquisitions, including Hygain and Cushcraft antennas. MFJ customer services and PR manager Richard Stubbs says the company continues to grow with the popularity of ham radio and currently manufactures over 2,000 products. Martin Jue graduated from Mississippi State University with a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering, earned a master's in EE at Georgia Tech, was professor of EE at Mississippi State from 1972 to 79, but abandoned his doctorate in 1977 because of MFJ's growth. If you could use a bit more propagation info than the few seconds at the end of World of Radio, here's a suggestion from Gary Pence, KM5X. He says, I always learn something from Tamitha Skov. She's the real deal on her space weather snapshot. And I must agree, she takes almost an hour with lots of in-depth information and some great views of the sun. It's on YouTube. You may search on her name, TAMITHASKOV, or on the title Space Weather Snapshot, except the capital A's in all three words must be replaced by capital lambdas. The October 3rd edition was titled X-Factor Flares and Solar Storms A-Coming, Live Informal Solar Storm Forecast. The short-term propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. After some serious storming peaking October 4th, with incidences of 40 and 6, active levels possible on 15 and 16 October, ANK indices of 10 and 3. Otherwise, lots of 8s and 3s, but never down to 5. Solar flux never matches the predictions exactly, but expected to peak at 140 October 12th and 13th, and again on the 18th, up to 145 and 150 by October 22nd and 23rd, and another 150 on October 29th. And so concludes World of Radio 2159. I hope you found it informative and will make a point of hearing me again next week. Glenn Hauser with a standard disclaimer.